It's great to see everyone who's come along this afternoon. Many thanks for coming. I am going to look this afternoon at the case of the Lord Jesus with a man who has leprosy. But before we get there, I'm going to turn back to the book of Leviticus. You can either follow the reading as I read it, or if you have your Bible, you can read along with me. But I'm going to go back just for a little background, because before we look at the man with leprosy, there were some things that the people knew who were watching what was happening that maybe, well, maybe we didn't know ourselves. And so let's get a little background. We go back to the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus is really, in a sense, a handbook for a priest. So if you want to be a priest, read the book of Leviticus, and that's how you become a priest. Although they probably won't let you in because you're not Jewish and you're not of the tribe of Levi. But anyway, that's their handbook of how to be a priest. And there's two really interesting chapters. There's lots of interesting chapters, but there's two really interesting chapters that are very important for our subject this afternoon. It's chapter 13 and chapter 14. In chapter 13, we read about leprosy. And I'll just give you a flavour of it. Verse 2 of Revelation 13, it's a big chapter, but chapter 13 deals in essence with the diagnosis of leprosy. This is how they diagnosed it. You didn't go to the doctor to get diagnosed with leprosy back in Old Testament times. You went to the priest. And part of the reason was this, that the response to leprosy was isolation. So it was an issue of being clean or unclean. And we'll see in a moment why that was. So Leviticus 13:2, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. And all that chapter deals very much with the diagnosis. And then if you flick over to chapter 14 of Leviticus, you'll find that there's a series of instructions that tell you what to do when the person's cured, about bringing certain sacrifices to the priest. So verse 2 of Leviticus 14, again, just to give us a flavour, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And then fascinatingly, at the end of Leviticus chapter number 13, there is this little instruction as well, if you just go back. So chapter 13 is the diagnosis. Chapter 14 is the purification, what happens when a person is declared clean. And in verse 45 of Leviticus 13, there's this interesting instruction. Leviticus 13:45, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. That's interesting. We're all familiar with that, aren't we, from the days of COVID. You had to wear a mask, all right? You had to wear a mask. Now, that's very odd. We'll come back to that in a moment. Did you notice anything missing there? Leviticus 13, the diagnosis of leprosy. Leviticus 14, what happens when a person is pronounced clean? But did you notice there's something missing? There ain't no treatment. All right. Chapter 13, the diagnosis. Chapter 14, you sign them fit for work. But there ain't no treatment. Now that's really interesting. Really interesting. If you come over with me, the bit that's missing is to be found later on in Mark's Gospel. So we're in Mark's Gospel. The bit that we've been waiting for 3,000 years, if you like, the bit we've been waiting for to turn the page of the Bible from diagnosis to cure is the treatment. We've been waiting for this for 3,000 years, and here it is. Mark chapter number 1, first of all, please, and verse 35. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, the Lord Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for thee. And he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. You notice that? People were seeking for the Lord Jesus because of the miracles that he was doing, but he said, I'm going to go and preach. Now, I don't know about you, but I always think that actions speak louder than words. And I would have thought that what he did was more important than what he said. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ is very adamant about this. he wants free to preach rather than to be busy curing. And that's interesting too. We'll come back to that later. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will. Be thou clean. You're clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And he said to him, see, you say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, Leviticus 14, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, Leviticus 14, for a testimony to them. And he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Our Father, we come into thy presence this afternoon with thanksgiving. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give thanks for the living word of God. It's powerful and it's interesting. We give thanks, our Father, for the inspiration of the Bible, the way in which God has breathed these words. We give thanks, our Father, that over time these revelations were made and they contain things that we would never expect there to be there. Was it not for the fact that they're God-given, God-breathed? And so we pray, Father, for thy blessing. And we ask, Father, for a real help to share something of the joy of salvation in the Lord Jesus and something of the wonder of thy Son. So be with us, our Father, this afternoon as we ask for that special help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to speak to you this afternoon about the greatest page turn in all of history. The way in which the Lord Jesus Christ just turns the pages of the Bible in the most unexpected of ways. In Mark chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this leper, and the leper comes to the Lord Jesus, of course. And the Saviour in verse 41, he's moved with love. The same love that would move him from heaven to earth. The same love that would move the Lord Jesus Christ from earth to the cross, the same love that would move the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer for my sins, the same love that extends out from Calvary this afternoon to us, that saving, powerful, life-changing love of the Lord Jesus. And you and I certainly have great difficulty in working out why God would bother with me. And the answer lies in this: love, God's love. That sense, that special, sometimes we call it emotion, but it's better than emotion. Sometimes that powerful, deep inner moving that we feel between people, that motivation that yields self-sacrifice, that motivation that binds people together, that most noble of all emotions and all feelings, that love comes ultimately from the greatest source of all. It comes from God. That God loved us so much that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is moved by the same love in Mark 1:41, and he puts out his hand. Look at this, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and he touched him, and he said to him, I will, be thou clean. Did I ever tell you the trap that I got into many years ago? It was about 30 odd years ago in Central Africa, in Zambia, a little place called Shavuma. And we had a clinic there. It was the only clinic, I think, for a distance of about 500-600 miles. It was pretty busy. So it's about covering, I suppose, most of Scotland. And you saw everything coming in. And I was a student, and in came this chap, and he had a rash. And the doctor I was working with at the time, he said, have a look at that, Stuart. You might not see that again in Scotland. And so the man put his hand out, and he had this white rash. He was black-skinned. He had a white rash. And of course, I was poking about it the way you do, you see. And he said, what do you think it is? I said, well, I've never seen anything like that. He says, no, he says, that's leprosy. Well, I just about fled to the other side of the room, you know. Because I knew, and maybe you know, you don't touch leprosy. You're wrong. You can touch leprosy and it's okay. But for years, for generations, for hundreds of years, it has been believed that leprosy is contagious. It's passed by contact. But it's not. About 60, 70 years ago, it was discovered that leprosy was spread by aerosol. It was spread by coughs and by sneezes. Now, you wouldn't expect that because it's a skin condition. But that little bacteria that causes leprosy, Mycobacterium, it's the same or similar bacterium that causes tuberculosis. That little bacteria grows in your nose. You might see it in the skin, but it grows in your nose. And it's when you cough and it's when you sneeze that you spread leprosy. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he extends his hand to this man who is a leper, verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and you can see people looking because they know the leper is not touchable, you cannot touch the leper, and you can perhaps just see people just taking that little grasp of breath because the leper, he was kept outside the town, outside the city, in the leper colony, which was practiced right up until the 19th, 20th century, right? And you weren't allowed to touch them, you weren't allowed to go near them, and the Lord Jesus Christ stretches out his hand to touch the leper. But let me tell you, the Lord Jesus knew that leprosy was not spreadable by touch, because the Lord Jesus Christ inspired and wrote the book of Leviticus, and in Leviticus chapter 4:13, amongst all of those instructions about leprosy was this: the leper had to wear a mask. How did God know that? Why did God say the leper had to wear a mask? Because God knew about Mycobacterium leprae. Because God knew where leprosy came from, where it spread and where it grew. The leper had to wear a mask. And so the Lord Jesus Christ extends his hand in full knowledge, 2,000 years early, in full knowledge of where leprosy came from. And he touched him. And down from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, power flows. Power flows in reverse. For thousands of years, it was the case that if the leper touched you, you became contaminated. For thousands of years, it was the case that if the leper touched you, you became dirty and defiled. And now such is the power of Jesus Christ, that the power flows from the person of Christ to the leper and cleanses the leper. That was never done before. That was utterly outstanding. And here in Mark chapter number 1, not only do we see the exceeding power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we see something that is the fulfillment to the prophetic scriptures, the prophetic word of God, and the expectation of the Old Testament believers. You see, ever since those chapters were written in the book of Leviticus, we noticed the problem today, didn't we? Well, the Jewish teachers noticed the problems thousands of years ago. Leviticus 13, you can diagnose leprosy. Leviticus 14, you can give God thanks for the cure of it, but we ain't got no treatment. And the rabbis reasoned like this: one day somebody must come who's able to fix that little gap there in Leviticus. Somebody will come from God who's able to cure the leper, so that we can go into chapter 14 and give thanks that a leper's been cured. And nobody had ever been cured in Israel who had ever used that chapter before. Nobody. There was a woman called Miriam before the Old Testament books of the laws were finished. She was a leper, she got cured, but they never put it into practice. You can read about that. And there was a man later on in the Old Testament called Naaman, but he wasn't a Jew, so Leviticus 14 was never used for him either. And so they had this chapter. We need to give thanks for the cured leper, but we can't give thanks for a cured leper because we can't cure a leper. So what am I going to do? And so they were waiting for someone from God to come, someone that they called Messiah, someone who had the power to cure the leper. And here he is in Mark chapter number 1. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's moved with compassion, and he put forth his hand, and he touched him, and he said, "I will be thou clean." That's wonderful, isn't it? One of the great miracles of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus here in Mark chapter number 1 was going to do something even bigger than miracles. And I suppose if I was to ask the ordinary person on the street what was perhaps the greatest feature of the Lord Jesus, what was the thing about Jesus Christ that seems to be the most interesting? Would it be his teachings? Or would it be those surprising, extraordinary miracles? What was the thing that seems to make the most impact in the Lord Jesus? Is it the fact that he taught, for example, blessed are the peacemakers? Or is it the fact that he raised the dead, cured the leper, calmed the sea, fed the 5,000? I think it's those miracles that capture the popular imagination. I think so. It certainly makes an impact in me. And yet in Mark chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these verses that we've read together, whilst he does some wonderful things, he cures the leper and he shows who he is, he shows he's the Son of God who came from earth to heaven, he's going to do something way bigger than cure disease. Here's something interesting. It's important for me. I hope it's important for you. Because I can't cure your leprosy, even if you've got leprosy. But there's something we can do today. We can look at the words of the Lord Jesus. Did you notice that there? Chapter number 1 and verse number 38. Let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. The Lord Jesus Christ is interested in preaching the word of God. Having cured the leper, he then tells the leper something very strange. Verse 44. See, you say nothing to any man. Listen, if I had cured a leper and you come, like, I would be really quite chuffed if we would go and tell everybody. One up than the mistakes that we make, isn't it, getting told to everybody? Maybe if somebody, yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? But I don't want you to tell anybody. It's never happened for 3,000 years and you don't want to tell anybody. You'd be wanting it in the newspapers, you want it on Facebook, wouldn't you? But see, you say nothing to any man, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest, make the priest day, show him that chapter 14 of Leviticus is there for a reason. Go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testament to them. And the man, you know, he didn't do what he was told. I suppose we're all a bit like that, aren't we? But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad. I can't blame the guy. I really can't blame him. He's been a leper for so many years. He was outside the city. Nobody would touch him. He had to wear this mask. He was regarded as unclean, and now he's cured. To be honest, I don't know how he could keep it to himself. But he doesn't keep it to himself. And when he doesn't, you know, here's the problem. It seems to hinder the preaching of the Lord Jesus, because what the Lord Jesus has as a priority is not just the curing of a leper, it's the sharing of the word of God. In other words, there is something even more powerful from Jesus Christ than his miracles. It's his word that's more powerful. It's that word that you and I have in front of us today that is able not just to cure diseases, but is able to save. In this word of God that we have before us, we have a word that is able to get inside of us and is able to open up our hearts and show us what we are. The word of God, living and powerful. The word of God that divides between marrow and bone. It's a discerner, an understander of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word is able to speak to me, is able to speak to you, and is able to reveal to us where we are. That's why we can have such strange experiences with the Bible. Maybe the circumstances we're going through, and we open up the word of God, and there's something there that's just, it's almost as if somebody wrote it for the experience that I'm going through today. Or we open up the word of God and we see within it, within that word, something like a mirror. We begin to get a little glimpse of who we actually are, of what we actually are. And it becomes unsettling at times. That word is living and powerful. It reveals who we are. More than that, it's a word that tells me who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It reveals Christ to me. It reveals the Lord Jesus as the eternal Son of God. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. It tells me what he did for me on the cross at Calvary. And it tells me why I can have absolute confidence in Jesus Christ. Because he fulfilled all of those wonderful ancient Old Testament prophecies that point me to a Saviour. The Saviour had something bigger than just the miracles. He had his ministry, his preaching. He had a message which brings to us eternal life. Let me just flick with you, would you, over to John's Gospel. If you have your Bible, you can follow me. I think it's getting quite hot, isn't it? What strange weather we have in New Cumnock in Scotland, isn't it? We were speaking to some Indian folks the other day who've come over from Kerala, and they were telling us that they really enjoy the weather in Scotland, because you got all seasons in just one day. They were just used with, they said they only had summer in India, but they said, well, you get summer, you get winter, you get spring, you get autumn, and you get it all in the one day. So there we go. That's a good summary, I think, of Scottish weather, isn't it? So John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. here's a great question that the Lord Jesus Christ asks, and it takes us to this point that even his disciples saw that there was something even more stupendous than his miracles. And remember, John 6 is a chapter that occurs after turning water into wine. Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? That was amazing. That was a pretty clever thing to do, that one. It was also after the feeding of the 5,000. Well, that was quite a cracker as well, wasn't it? 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000, and the disciples, by the way, they all got a wee bag to carry home. They got a basket full each. Lord Jesus didn't leave them out either. What a tremendous overabundance that was. Or a sea that was storm-tossed in chapter 6 of John, and so the Saviour, he doesn't rescue the disciples out of the sea, oh no, he just calms the sea for them. That was easy, wasn't it? What tremendous miracles! And yet here in John 6, as the heat is turned up and people depart, they leave the Lord Jesus, they get offended at his words, and the Saviour has a great question for some of his disciples. Look at verse 66 of John 6. You know, that's all the sixes, and you might be wondering if that's maybe not such a great verse. Well, it isn't such a great verse. 666 of John is not a great verse. Let me read it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It's a verse of backsliders and deserters. That's sad, isn't it? And in response to that, the Lord Jesus says this to the 12, will you also go away? You're going to depart. You're going to leave me. Now, here's the answer of Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter, he was there in the boat when the storm was calmed. He was there scratching his head, wondering how you're going to feed 5,000 folk with a wee boy's packed lunch. He was there on other occasions when there were dead people and all sorts of other problems. But here's Peter's answer. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. He didn't say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you can feed us with bread, and that was great. Or, to whom shall we go? You've got us out of some really sticky situations when our boat was storm-tossed. Or, to whom shall we go? Because, you know, when people are in distress and they don't know where to turn, you seem to have an answer. But to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. There was power in the words of Jesus Christ. He is able to save forever all that come to him by faith. There is power in his words. Power in a word that brings us to a sense, a knowledge of our own sin. All have sinned, fallen short of his glory. Power in those words that draw us in faith to himself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Power in the words of the Lord Jesus that extends out that hand of salvation and forgiveness. What a great Saviour. And it's that word, those words, that gospel that he leaves for us today. Now, one other thing I wanted to highlight to you, if you have an interest in finding salvation, if you have an interest in getting right with God, this leper gives us a little pointer as to how your story of your life should go. Your story of your life should follow something like this of Luke chapter 1, verse number 40. It's so instructive. If you're really keen to get in touch with the God of heaven, be ready to meet him. If you're really keen to be cleansed and to have your sins forgiven, if you're really clean like the thief on the cross was, to know that this day you shall be with me in paradise, if you're keen for that, if you're keen for a journey of life that ends in heaven, sins forgiven and the joy of salvation, then your story has to include something like this. Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him. Do you notice he was marked by intensity, by sincerity? He was marked by real earnestness. Jesus Christ was not an add-on to his life. Jesus Christ was not a hobby. He was not an extra. He was not just a little thing that we do for an hour or so on a Sunday.
Jesus Christ meant everything to him. And I suppose we can see why. He was a leper. He was doomed to die. He was an outcast. He was separate. He was dirty. He was defiled. And he desperately needed help. And the only person that could help him was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his priority. Now, the strange thing is this. That's exactly what Jesus Christ expects of us all, to be our priority. Whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself. So whatever will hinder you from following me, let him deny himself, self-denial, take up his cross, self-death, and follow me, self-discipline. That is a requirement for coming to follow and to know Jesus Christ. He will not accept being an add-on in your life. And if he's merely an add-on in your life, he's not real to you. To be real to you, he will be everything to you. Now, you notice that in that man. There's that intensity. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. There is a deep dignity. Did you see that in the Lord Jesus? I'm going to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Now, by the way, in the Bible, bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus is not an option. It will always happen. The only question is in the Bible, when will it happen? If you go to Philippians chapter number 2, you will find that before the Lord Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The question in the Bible is not if we will bow the knee. The question is when we will bow the knee. And we can, you see, choose. It's one of the wonderful features of being human to have capacity and to make choices. Sometimes I get asked to judge on that. I'm not quite sure why. It assumes I have capacity, but anyway. Sometimes we get asked to make that judgment. Does somebody have capacity? But it's one of the great features of humanity that we have capacity to make decisions. And we have this capacity to make a decision. Do I choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and bow the knee to him as my Lord and Saviour, as we have in picture form here? Or do I wait one day when I have to and bow before him at the end of the book of Revelation when he's seated upon the throne of judgment? Either way, I will bow the knee. The question is not if, the question is when. And this man makes such an intelligent choice. He's going to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. And thirdly, if you will, you can make me clean. Faith. Faith. Now, this is something I do find rather misrepresented today about Christian life. People sometimes dismiss the Christian as someone with blind faith. And sometimes that word gets misused, you know. It sometimes gets used in the sense that, well, if you've got enough faith, things will happen in life, you know. If you think it will come to pass. That kind of an idea. Now, in the gospel, in the Bible, faith isn't like that. It's not about you drumming up lots of faith in your heart. You'll find that very difficult. The faith that the Bible speaks about is faith in a person who has power. Right? It's not about me getting enough faith so that I'm powerful enough and strong enough to get through my life, or powerful enough or strong enough to meet the challenges, or powerful enough or strong enough to get to heaven. No. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Seems strange, doesn't it now? You just need faith like a mustard seed. Now, if I was to say faith or explain faith to someone, I probably wouldn't emphasise it as a mustard seed. I would probably tell them you need a lot of faith. Yeah? Isn't that what he says? Just a little faith. Why do you need just a little faith? Because you've got a great God. That's why. It's just a little faith in the great God. Yeah? Yeah? You know, there's a wire that connects those lights there. 240 volts-ish, so I'm told. And if you trace it far back enough, well, it used to run to Hunterston at one point, a nuclear reactor. Visited that as a child many years ago. Boy, that nuclear reactor was powerful. They only let you get so close, eh? I think some things got too close and they've got 4 or 5 rings nowadays, but anyway, there you go. Right? The power isn't in the wire. That wee wire that runs to that light is just a few millimetres thick. It's the Hunterston nuclear power station at the end that makes the light work. Yeah. And so this man here in his leprosy, he's not going to try and work up faith to cure himself. That would be ridiculous. In the same way that God doesn't ask you or I to work up enough faith for us to get to heaven or work up enough faith to make us right, The commandment, the call of God in the Word of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To put that little faith, as small as it might be, into a great God, a great Saviour. And this man, in all of his weakness, in all of his brokenness, in all of his leprosy, if you will, I'm going to just rest my faith in you, Lord. If you will, you can make me clean. I'm just going to make that little connection of faith. I'm going to rest in a great God. I'm going to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to rest in a Saviour who not only performed miracles, but who died on the cross for my sins. I'm going to rest in God's finished work, in the fulfillment of those ancient prophecies. Isaiah spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, led as a lamb to the slaughter, to Calvary. David spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 22, being nailed in his hands and his feet. Jeremiah spoke about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. It's all there in the Old Testament. And I'm going to rest in the fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't need a lot of faith. Don't let that stumble you. You just need a lot of faith in one great Saviour. That is the Lord Jesus. And he is able to save forever all that come to him by faith. What a great Saviour. The day that the Lord Jesus turned the page of the Word of God, the boldest page turn in all of history, and the day in which the Saviour takes us not only to his miracles but to himself. What a great Saviour. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come into thy presence this afternoon with thanksgiving. We pray, Father, that thou would bless the living Word of God. It's a wonderful book. The words, our Father, are so interesting. They reveal to us the hand of God there in the Old Testament of the Bible. And they point us, our Father, to something even greater than the Bible and even greater than the miracles and even greater than interesting facts about the Bible. They point us to thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, our Father, for a Saviour who was stamped on history as the Son of God with power. And we thank thee, our Father, that beyond even those miracles, we find the words of the Lord Jesus, words that are able to save. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Words, our Father, that draw us to him. We thank thee, our Father,